Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. As of today, in Houston, Harvey officially set a record for rainfall from a tropical system, and there's no sign that the rain might let up soon. All around the country, people are asking what they can do to help, including many here in Boston, such as Mayor Marty Walsh, who joins us. Mayor Walsh, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much.
So let's start with Hurricane Harvey. You created an effort called Help for Houston. Tell us about that.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're collecting items here at City Hall and at the Boland Building and a couple of the city buildings in the city where we're asking people to bring non-perishable food. We're asking people to bring baby diapers and baby food, non-perishable. We're asking people to bring new clothes, maybe socks, underwear, shorts, things like that. And we're going to be sending it off to Houston this weekend. This is something that they requested that they need, where they have about 50,000 people that have been displaced. So there's a great need in the city of Houston to try and help people.
Mm-hmm. And you said this weekend you'll be sending it off. So until when can people drop these items off?
We're going to be collecting till Thursday, and then we'll see what happens Thursday if we have to extend it, but at least till Thursday and drop it off at City Hall.
How when you look at something like this, Mayor, how do you think, when you must obviously think about, boy, is Boston prepared for something similar for this kind of torrential rain? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's something that we're going to take a look at. I mean, I wasn't the mayor when Sandy happened in New Jersey and New York, and I know the city had done some work at that point to see how they would handle something like that. So we're going to be having conversations here just to make sure that we're prepared, God forbid, in the case of something like this. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever truly prepared for this devastation that they're experiencing in Texas, depending on the size of the storm and the impact of the storm. So, but you have to at least think about how you lay down the foundation for that.
Mm. You know, there was a piece in the Boston Herald about what it's calling a proposed Boston hurricane barrier, a $10 billion project that would sort of wall off Boston Harbor. I mean, what's your view of the feasibility of a project like that?
You think about something like that, and people kind of, I think at first will laugh about it, but if we get a flood like Harvey, you're talking, 20, 30, $40 billion worth of damage. And if you can look at, say, putting some of that investment up front, it can make a big difference. But we're going to explore a whole bunch of different things here in the city and see how we move forward.
I want to switch gears a little bit here and talk to you about some other things that have been in the news. Most recently, a Boston Globe analysis of Boston police investigations. That analysis showed that Black people made up a disproportionate share of the people singled out by Boston officers. The Globe analysis says of about 15,000 individuals observed by Boston police or interrogated, about 70% were Black, and that's despite the fact that Blacks constitute about 25% of the city's population. What's your reaction?
You know, I certainly think that, I think in the report today as well, it said that the police department was talking about how a lot of the people were repeat, they sought them repeatedly, they were known gang members, and that pushes the number up. So I think that the report's a little skewed, and I'm waiting to get a better explanation so I can give a better answer to that. I haven't seen it myself, the report, but I know it's out, and we're working on it to see exactly what that means.
Yeah, we did reach out to Boston Police about this story. They turned down our offer to come on the show today, but they did say to the Boston Globe that the statistics might be misleading because some known criminal offenders are frequent targets of police. But also, Mayor, previous studies of Boston Police investigations did show a similar pattern. The ACLU a few years ago said that Blacks were the targets of 63% of Boston Police field investigations. So, and there were new trainings put in place, new policies. I mean, I know you want to look at this further, but do you feel that those trainings and policies have done enough at this point to deal with this issue?
They are. I mean, I think we've made a lot of movement here in the city of Boston with our police department. I think when you look at the complaints against officers, they're way down. When you look at the use of force against officers in Boston, they're way down. So I think some of that stuff is positive information that doesn't necessarily get reported all the time. But I do think that in this particular case, again, just initially looking at on the surface, the majority of these folks that the police are investigating have records and are known to creating problems in the community. And I think that that's something that the community wants to make sure as well, that we continue the efforts to take the bad people off the street, if you will. Or in some other case, I'd love to see us to be able to get to some of these young people and get them into a training program, a job apprentice program, and look at the positive side and try and get these folks off the street in a bad way.
You know, we have to move on again. I know that we're a little bit pressed for time here. Earlier this month, we had the big counter protest on Boston Common, about 40,000 people protesting what was called a free speech rally. You know, the rally was supposed to finish at 2, but police actually led those attending away from the Parkman bandstand on the Common before 1 o'clock. Was it your view that those folks were taken away for their own protection, as Boston police said?
Yeah, they wanted to leave. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, I love that this story is like the story is not going to go away. I guess people aren't satisfied unless we had somebody get seriously hurt on the Common. Thank God we didn't. They were there. They got there, I think, at I don't know if it was at 10 or 12 or 11 o'clock to do their so-called free speech rally. They didn't have amplification. We're getting criticized because people didn't hear what they had to say. It's on them to bring amplification. We set up a safe barrier around there so reporters and people wouldn't get hurt. We didn't want a repeat offense of what happened in Charlottesville, where a young woman got killed by a car going into the crowd and other people were seriously hurt. We didn't want that to happen in the city. You know, we're getting the Boston Police Department and the city is getting a lot of credit and praise for how it handled the situation in Boston. Then we had a group of anarchists that came into the city, 200 of them, 200 plus, that were there not to express free speech, but to cause problems. You know, people don't seem too concerned about them, but they could have done a lot of damage in there to a lot of the innocent people that came in to express against hate and bigotry in support of Black Lives Matter, in support of the Jewish community. So that's the group, too, that I am very disappointed in.
So your feeling was that free speech was not shut down that day?
Absolutely not.
I want to move on to school. School starts next week in Boston. Your administration and the teachers union recently reached a tentative contract deal, but that agreement's been criticized for not dealing with the issue of unassigned teachers. There's one editorial recently published that says both sides may as well start negotiating again now.
That's what we're doing. That's exactly what we're going to do. I mean, the intention here was to basically get a financial extension here, continue the conversations. We are going to go back into conversations. We were getting nowhere under the last contract negotiation. There was a change in leadership at the teachers union, a new president, actually a whole new team, basically. And what we're doing is getting a fresh start here on a contract discussion. And this contract had very little reform in it. It was mostly just an extension of the financial package. So now we have a chance to go back to the table with a new team at the teachers union, and we will the school department will have some new folks as well, because some of our people that were on the negotiating team have left the district.
But let's explain this issue of unassigned teachers. Essentially, what it is teachers who are entitled to full pay even if they haven't been assigned a classroom.
This is legislation that was passed by the legislature and which I vote on, education reform in 2010, and this was an issue that was not dealt with in that legislation. And these are teachers that we have probably. I think we have roughly 38, 39 teachers that have been not necessarily assigned. They haven't applied. In some cases, they haven't applied for a job, or they've been doing teacher's aid work basically for the last couple of years that are not full-time teachers in the classroom. And we're working on how do we move these teachers out of the district if, in fact, they can't get a job or they don't apply for one.
I just want to, last question, Mayor. We're hearing reports that President Trump is considering ending DACA, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. It allows young people, some young people, to remain in the country if they were illegally brought in by their parents. What's your reaction to that, and how do you think any kind of a shutdown might affect Boston?
It's a sad situation. I mean, we have a lot of young people in our city that are afraid already of their parents being taken away by the federal government. There's the fear out there, and for the president to end this program, you know, again, it's just I don't know what the mindset in Washington is when it comes to immigration, but clearly that they're on the wrong path in a lot of different ways, and I think this would just add more fear to our people, our city of Boston, and our young people in the city of Boston.
All right, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.